gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. It is written, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. It is written, and he ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. It is written, and they came out and found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to go with them, that he might bear his cross. When they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments among them, casting lots. And they sat and watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away as far as I can go.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, Four Men and Four Trees. In the Word of God, there is an account of four men and four trees. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam was behind a tree. In John chapter 1, Nathanael was under a tree. And in Luke 19, Zacchaeus was up a tree. And the theme of every book, chapter, and verse of the Word of God is a story of Jesus on the tree. Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most important chapters in the Word of God and begins with these ominous words. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Ladies and gentlemen, this serpent was not the fearful creature to Eve that he is to modern man. A slow-motion picture of the strike of a rattlesnake in full color appeared in a national magazine. Several frames showed the snake coiled up, and gradually, with each frame, you saw the snake open his mouth and close in on his victim. At the end of the picture was a statement, the strike of a rattlesnake is a thing of exquisite beauty. I thought to myself, what kind of a mind does a person have to see something beautiful and exquisite as deadly as the bite of a rattlesnake? Actually, the old serpent can make the poison of sin look beautiful. An advertisement of a nightclub had this message, where to sin in Cincinnati. Sometimes the devil gets his way with one person by going through another person. That is how the serpent got to Adam, by going through Eve. He persuaded some to live together without marriage by observance of the Hollywood stars. Others to become addicted to drugs by some of the sports stars. The serpent persuaded Eve, "This is good stuff, Eve. Eat it, and your eyes shall be open, and you shall become wise, knowing good and evil." The serpent was right. Her eyes were open to sin and closed to the Word of God. And he was also right when he said, "You shall become wise, knowing good and evil." She did become wise, and she learned a lot of things she had never known before. Many of them she could not afford to know. A person may not know what it is like to get drunk and commit a murder, and that is something that person cannot afford to know. So she ate of the tree and gave to Adam, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They had been stripped of their sheen of immortality and left naked, cold, and afraid. When they realized they were naked, they tried to cover up by making aprons of fig leaves, genuine permapress, 60% polyester. The label on the inside of Adam's coat must have read, "Made in Hell." That is why Adam and his wife hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. When they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, God had several questions to ask the guilty pair. "Where art thou? Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? What is this that thou hast done?" They had no answer that made any sense. And if we had been there, our answer would not have been any better. We were fairly represented by the actions of Adam and Eve. This scene will be duplicated on the judgment day for the unforgiven, especially the question, "What is this that thou hast done? What is this that thou hast done to my son who died to save you? What is this thou hast done to my church? What is this thou hast done to my word? What is this thou hast done with my baptism?" Any person with the mind of an Einstein could not do any better than Adam and Eve. "What is this that thou hast done?" If God had said to Adam and Eve, "How do you feel standing there behind that tree?" the appropriate answer would have been what God told the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. They would have said, "I am wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And that is the predicament of every person whose life is not in sync with the will of God. The fall of Adam and Eve demonstrates the power of one sin. Because of that one sin, the entire human race died. If that one sin had that much power, what would be the price tag to pay of even a half a dozen of our sins? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:23, "As in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Adam was the federal head of the human race, and he hid behind a tree. Ladies and gentlemen, what we lost in the first Adam, we can regain in the second Adam, if we also hide behind the tree, the tree of the cross. And now here comes Nathanael under a tree. The first chapter of the Gospel according to John tells us that Philip findeth Nathanael and told him they had found the Messiah. Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" When Nathanael heard about Jesus, he was not concerned about hearing anything else. He had already made up his mind. He was prejudiced, and Philip did not argue the point. he told him, "Come and see." When people have already made up their mind about the Word of God and salvation, Philip's method is the best for overcoming prejudice. Come and see. Read it for yourself. There's no need to argue the point. It is plain enough. Let God's Word speak to you. You don't need professional help. The gospel song says, "Open your Bible and read it. Ponder its message so true. You'll find the great plan of salvation. Why Jesus died for you. Come and see." Now when Jesus saw Nathanael coming, he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." Nathanael replied, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus told him, "Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Then the Lord's promise to Nathanael, "You shall see greater things than these. You shall see the heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This reminds us of the reference to the Old Testament story of Jacob and his ladder in Genesis 28, verse 12. "And the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it." Jesus referred to himself as the real ladder to heaven. Jesus was the fulfillment of Jacob's dream of that ladder. Jesus is the ladder to heaven. Heaven is not gained by a single bound, but by climbing the ladder round by round. The first rung in hearing the word is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then there's a second rung of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto God, for he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. The third rung of the ladder to heaven is repentance. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And he said the same thing twice in two verses. And then there's the fourth rung, confession. "Whosoever shall confess me before men, I will confess him before the Father." And then the fifth rung is immersion. "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And then the sixth rung is a faithful life. "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." Always remember, heaven is not gained by a single bound, but by climbing the ladder round by round. And don't forget, the angels who descend and ascend upon the Son of Man, are they not ministering spirits, sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit eternal salvation? Adam was behind a tree. Nathanael was under a tree. And now consider that Zacchaeus was up a tree. Luke tells us that Jesus was passing through Jericho, and behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus perched up in the tree, said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Zacchaeus came down and received him joyfully. This was a wise decision. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was, but he found out he could not really see Jesus, who he was, while perched up in the top of a sycamore tree. Jesus had come down, and he came down. No one can find out about Jesus while perched up in a tree. Any tree. Of good works, for example. Come on down. The scripture provides a good example of how good works is not enough in the 10th chapter of Acts. There was a Gentile centurion who is described as a devout man who feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Yet he was not good enough for salvation, because an angel appeared to him and directed him to send for Simon Peter, and he would be told what to do to be saved. This man was devout, feared God, prayed always, gave much money, and yet God said he was not good enough. He had no hope of heaven. Notice that Jesus called him by name. He seemed to know who he was. This is normal procedure for the Lord. He one time said himself that the good shepherd knoweth his sheep and calleth his sheep by name. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Come on down. Zacchaeus made haste and came down. He called him by name. Come on down. That was a personal message to Zacchaeus. However, every time the word of God is preached, there is a personal call in the message. Come on down. The invitation continues today. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come on down. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come on down. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come on down. Behold, I come quickly. Come on down. He calls us through faithful gospel preaching. Come on down. He calls us now through the working of our conscience. Come on down. He calls us through the providence of sickness or accident or the loss of a loved one. Come on down. Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He made a wise decision. Come on down. Don't be left up in a tree on the judgment day. And now the fourth man is Jesus on the tree. The first mention of the Lord's sacrifice on the cross is Genesis 3:15. When God the Father served notice on the devil in these words, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That statement was the opening gun in the battle of the Lord Jesus Christ for the souls of men against the devil. And victory was announced the day when the angel at the empty tomb in Matthew 28:6 declared, he is not here, for he is risen even as he said. Twice the apostle Peter referred to the cross of the Lord Jesus as a tree. He said to the elders one time, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew, hanging him on a tree. And again he said, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. Jesus is the fourth man, the man on the tree. In Revelation, we hear the voice of 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands saying with a great voice, worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and glory and blessing, and every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that are in them heard our saying, unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion forever and ever. The story of the man on the tree could be the starting point of any sermon that could be preached. If a sermon on money is preached, what better way to start than with the verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You cannot outgive God. Your pocketbook is the only tangible measuring stick to measure the distance between you and the tree on which the Savior died. If a sermon on the second coming of Jesus is preached, what better starting point than, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him." If a sermon on the Christian life is preached, what better starting point than, "For as touching those who were once enlightened, and tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." If a sermon on the judgment day is to be preached, what better place than to go to Mars Hill with the Apostle Paul, when he said, "God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all the nations, in that he hath raised him from the dead." And how about a sermon on the Lord's Supper? What better place to start than with the verse that states, as Jesus said, "As oft as ye do this, ye shew forth the Lord's death, till he come. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, unto remission of sins." And on the day of the resurrection, Jesus preached to two disciples on the road to Emmaus how it behooved the Christ to suffer and enter into his glory. He interpreted to them in all the Scripture the things concerning himself. Any doctrine in the Word of God starts with the man on the tree. Actually, there is no theme in Scripture that is not sanctified by the blood of the man on the cross. In Revelation 7, beginning with the 9th verse, we read where John records the shout of victory when he declares, "I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, out of every tribe and tongue and nation and kindreds and peoples, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, Salvation unto our God, which sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels were standing round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders said, These that are arrayed in white robes, who are they, and whence came they? And he said unto me, These are they that come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb who was hanged on the tree." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Don't forget to tell somebody somehow and in some way that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.